The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everybody? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. Listen, if this is your first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. We'd love to hear from you. Also, guys, can you do me a favor before we ever get started on this program tonight? I need you to hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that subscribe button, that bell notification. This is going to help us push our material out on these platforms, help others see our content, and help spread the word as well. And of course, guys, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to pick it up today. You could get it at your Android or Apple store, depending on your device. Pick it up today. Hit yes to push notifications. And you're going to be informed of every headline and every podcast when it is readily available. So tonight, what are we going to be talking about tonight? I'm going to be dealing with the ministering of angels. And I want to show you how many times these angels are responsible for many miracles that we see manifest here on this side of heaven. So this is going to be a great program. Hebrews chapter 1 is going to be our foundational scripture. I want to take you right there to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. The author of Hebrews mentions angels, and he says, listen what he says about angels. He says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Now, that's a lot right there to unpack right there. The word of the Lord tells us that the angels of the Lord are ministering spirits, so they're sent forth to minister. How do they minister to us? Now, who is us? Watch this. He tells us the us here are those who will inherit salvation. So every individual that becomes a born-again believer, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lord sends angels that are assigned to us to help minister to us and perform certain duties and certain tasks. Now, first and foremost, I want to pull this up. This is Psalms chapter 103, verse 20, for you guys that are taking notes on Apple and Spotify. By the way, we want to welcome all of our Apple and Spotify listeners. I'm in Psalms 103, verse 20, listening, and we're talking about angels. Bless the Lord, you his angels. Look at this. Who excel in strength, who what? Do his word, okay? Heeding the voice of his word. Come on. So the angels of the Lord hearken unto the word of the Lord. They heed the voice of the word, and they perform the word of the Lord in the earth. Let me give you some examples of this. For example, angels were directly instrumental in the deliverance of Israel from Egypt by Moses and Joshua. You go read the account of when Israel was delivered out of the hands of Pharaoh in Egypt. God said he sent angels. The angel of the Lord was with them. There was a cloud by day and a fire by night. There was an angel that was directly involved in their deliverance. Angels, listen to this. Angels appeared to Abraham and Lot before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember Genesis 19, two angels were sent from God himself to record the accounts of man in order so they could get a direct eyewitness account of the things that was going up before heaven that was being reported about the wicked cities of the plains. So angels were sent there directly by God to the cities of the plains, to Abraham or to Lot's home. An angel appeared to Abraham and stopped him from carrying out a sacrifice of his only son, Isaac. Remember that? Okay, there an angel of the Lord stopped Balaam in his tracks because an angel appeared before Balaam's donkey, and the donkey turned, this is one of the most phenomenal, miraculous things that you'll read about. One of the things in the Bible where Balaam's donkey actually turned around and rebuked Balaam. The donkey spoke to Balaam and said that there was an angel there in front of them. Now, before we Now, of course, the atheists and the skeptics and all them will laugh at that and say, well, this proves that the Bible is a fairy tale and it's false and all this because we know that animals can't talk. But friends, listen, I'm going to tell you, if you do deep enough research and you go down a deep enough rabbit hole, you'll discover that one of the historians, Jewish historians, Josephus, he wrote in his accounts that the animal kingdom prior to the fall of Adam had a voice, and the animal kingdom actually spoke in direct communication with humanity. This is why there was a serpent in the garden that was having direct communication with both Adam and Eve. And when the serpent spoke to Eve in the garden to tempt her, she didn't freak out and say, oh my gosh, and run to Adam and say, you're never going to believe this, but there was a serpent speaking to me. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. They were so familiar with animals and the animal kingdom having a communication and them communicating with one another that this was not odd. It was not unfamiliar. So again, I'm just going to let that know. So Josephus writes, now again, he had access to information and books that has been lost along the way. Now some of these sources of information have been even removed or prevented from ever coming into the 66 books of Canaan in Scripture. Howbeit, the book of Jasher and the book of Enoch. These books were both mentioned, but they've been removed. But if you go and you study into these books, it gives you more details on these things, that it gives you more clarity and understanding to that. But again, nevertheless, the point I'm making here is an angel was in front of Balaam's donkey, and Balaam didn't recognize this. Balaam didn't see this, but the donkey did. An angel, listen to this, appeared to Daniel when he was fasting for 21 days. Remember that? He was on a 21-day fast. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said that from the first day, Daniel, that you begin to pray, the Lord heard your prayer, but there it's been delayed. It's been resisted because there was a prince of Persia that was resisting Daniel's prayers. He was causing a hindrance, and an angel of the Lord was sent to do warfare in the heavens. Angels came and shut up the mouth of the lions in the den in which Daniel was thrown into and spared Daniel's life. An angel appeared to Zechariah to announce the birth of John the Baptist. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown into the fiery furnace, your Bible says there was a fourth man in the fiery furnace. It was likened to the Son of Man. Now, theologians are split on this. Was this an angel of the Lord, or was this what we call in theological circles a theophany, which is an Old Testament manifestation of Jesus Christ before he came in the flesh? I don't know. All I'm saying is it was a ministering spirit there sent for help. An angel appeared to Mary to announce the birth of the Messiah. An angel appeared to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and told him that his prayers, his giving, his fear of the Lord, his serving of the Lord went up before God as a memorial. And the angel spoke to him and said that he's going to send somebody, howbeit Peter, to come to Cornelius's home and deliver to him the words of life. An angel appeared to Paul when sailing to Rome. Can I tell you, an angel of the Lord appeared to Paul and Silas while they were locked up in prison and delivered them. Then an angel appeared to Peter and took off his chains when he was put in chain. What am I telling you? I'm trying to tell you that we have angels, come on, that assist us in life, and we may not even recognize this. We may not have any recollection of this, or we may not be aware of these ministering spirits given to the heirs of salvation. But listen, when you and I pray, when we seek the Lord, we ask the Lord of things, we begin to pray according to his will. What we don't realize and what we need to understand is many times the answer to our prayers is being delivered by these ministering spirits. In fact, I'll take it a step further. There is times that you and I will encounter angels and we won't even be aware that these are angels. Oh, you want Bible for it? I'll give you Bible for it. Let me take you to Hebrews 13:2. Let brotherly love continue. Verse 1, verse 2. Do not forget, look at this, to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unknowingly entertained angels. Let me say that again. Let me put this in modern vernacular for you. Be aware that when we encounter strangers, the homeless, orphans, widows, a stranger, someone at a Walmart, someone in a park, someone at a shopping center, someone at a restaurant, someone in our neighborhood, whatever the case may be, the writer of Hebrews tells us that be aware that many times when we entertain strangers or we converse with strangers, we have an encounter with strangers, unknowingly, we are conversing with angels. Whoa. Think about it, friends. Two angels of the Lord was sent to Lot's home in Genesis 19, and the men of the city thought they were two men, but they were angels. They looked like men, they talked like men, they acted like men, and these Sodomites believed that they were just another stranger coming into the land that they could take advantage of, which they wanted to do. But Lot was pleading with them, please do not touch these men. But these were not flesh and blood men. These were angels of the Lord. Don't ask me to explain all that, guys, because I can only go so deep. I know in Genesis chapter 6, we know that the angels, that there was a group of angels that they were, again, they were angelic, but they took upon themselves flesh. And they went into the daughters of men and produced a lineage of giants. So again, I'm only giving you scripture for this. You could do what you want with it. But the point being here is that angels are a whole lot more influential in everyday life than what we don't really take in consideration these things. We just kind of just skip over it, or we don't think about this stuff. But the thing I found fascinating with me. Now, guys, I'm going to show you some testimonies in just a moment that you're going to really enjoy, and it's going to pull all this together. We're going to give you the whole big puzzle pieces, the picture. We're going to give you all the pieces of the puzzle. Then you can put it together, and we're going to give you, you're going to get this revelation. I believe the light bulb is going to go off. When I read Psalms 103, and I just showed you this scripture again, it says the angels, they do the word of the Lord. They heed the voice of his word. And they do his pleasure. When we listen, this is why I'm not telling you you have to do this, but this is why many times when I pray the word of the Lord. I make decrees and proclamations and I speak the word of the Lord. And you say, well, I don't know if that's biblical. Well, what do you think Jesus did when he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness? But when he was led by the Spirit of God to be tempted by the devil, every time the devil came against him with an attack, your Bible says, he said, for it is written. He said, away with you, Satan. It is written. And he quoted the word of God. He declared, it is written, thou shalt not live off bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then the Satan led him up on top of a pinnacle and said, if you be the Son of God, why don't you cast yourself off from the pinnacle, for it is written. And Satan quoted the Bible, and he says the angels will give charge over you and bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But Jesus replied and said, it is written, Satan, he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then Satan took him to another place, and he showed him the kingdoms of this world, and he said, if you'll bow down and if you'll worship me, I'll give you these kingdoms. And Jesus replied, get away, Satan. Or he rebuked him and says, thou shalt worship the Lord, and him only shall thou worship. And your Bible says, after those one, two, three attacks, these three fiery darts of the wicked one, these three temptations from Satan, the Bible says that Jesus was ministered to by the angels of the Lord. So I'm here to tell you, I believe with all my heart, that when we declare the word of the Lord, not our opinions, not our complaints, come on somebody, not our bitterness, not our disagreements, our dissensions, all this stuff. When we declare the word of the Lord over our situation, when we say it is written and we declare that word over ourselves, I believe this activates these angels, and these angels hearken unto the word of the Lord. And just like Daniel, when he fasted 21 days and 21 nights, when as soon as he was standing in the perfect will of God, declaring the word of the Lord, he was seeking an answer from heaven, and angelic help was being released and coming to his aid. And there was warfare in the heavens over, come on, the answer to his prayer. Oh, come on. When Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all faced, come on, the threat on their lives, angels were sent to protect them and preserve them. Why? Because I guarantee you, they were declaring the word of the Lord while they were in them circumstances. This is why they had this confidence. This is why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told Nebuchadnezzar to his face, do what you will to us. We're not going to bow down to your image, even if the Lord doesn't. Come on, he doesn't deliver us. Let it be known that he is the one true God. So I'm telling you guys, this is when we come into agreement with the word of the Lord, we will see the activation of angels in our lives. Now, will we see them physically? There's times people do, but most of the times we don't. Why? Because we live in another dimension. We don't live in a spiritual dimension. We don't see beyond the veil. If God was to remove the veil, you not only see angels of the Lord, you would see demonic spirits, chief princes, principalities. You'd see all this stuff, and you'd probably lose your mind because it would be so frightful. Oh, come on. Let me show you this. Let me go to the book of Job. Come on. Are you enjoying this as much as I am? Listen, in the book of Job, chapter 1, Satan acknowledges that God had placed a hedge of angels about Job and his life and all that he had. All of his possessions, all of his family, everything he had. Your Bible says in Job chapter 1 verse 9. So Satan answered the Lord and says, does Job fear God for nothing? Look what he says in verse 10. Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. So again, don't miss this. Satan acknowledges that God put a hedge about Job, his household, and all around him. What is this hedge? This hedge is angelic protection. It is angelic assistance to keep him, preserve him, and protect him. Psalms 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps, look at this, all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, I come by today to tell you, listen, if you're a God-fearing man, a God-fearing woman, a God-fearing husband, a God-fearing mother, a wife, a grandmother, you seek the Lord, you're in covenant with God. You may not see them, but I'm here to tell you that there is angels that are encamped around about your home. They're around, you're in your backyard, they're in your front yard. They're up, they're down, they're all around us. They encampeth around about those who fear the Lord. Listen, how many times, we don't even know. Again, there could have been thieves, there could have been robbers, there could have been bandits, there could have been people that try to seek harm against us, against our family, against our possessions. And who knows how many times the angel of the Lord has intervened even in our behalf, and we never knew it. Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And just to give you a perspective on how powerful one of these angels are, your Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, that one angel went out and slew of the Assyrians 185,000. One angel wiped out 185,000 men. Let me give you another revelation. Come on, this is packed full of revelation today. When you see men or women mistreating children, abusing children, doing things that are unspeakable to children, you better watch out, friend, Because listen to this. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 2, Jesus called a little child to himself. And it said, surely I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you'll not by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one like a little child like this in my name receives me. But watch this. But whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for that man if a millstone were hung around their neck and they were drowned into the depths of the sea. Now, let's go on down here. Verse 10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. Look what it says here. For I say to you that in heaven, where? In heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Notice he didn't say an angel, or he didn't say angels. He says their angels. So I believe that when a child is born into this world, they do have a guardian angel over them. I believe that's biblical, friend. I base that on this scripture. I base it on when James was killed by the sword in the book of Acts, the whole house of Rhoda was praying for him. Peter gets broken out of prison by an angel, by the way. When they were praying that Peter be delivered, God sent an angel to deliver Peter. But then it gets even deeper in Revelation because Peter comes knocking at the door while they're praying for his deliverance. Rhoda shows up, freaks out, doesn't even know. She goes back and tells them, hey, Peter, the one whom you're praying to be delivered from death, is actually knocking at the door. And they said, you're crazy, you've lost your mind. And there was and it's interesting because one of the individuals in that house made an interesting statement. They said, it's his angel. They didn't say it's his spirit. They said it's his angel. Now, again, I believe that's a revelation. Just like Jesus said, their angel is always before me. And then in Acts, it referenced Peter with a personalized angel. It says his angel. I believe every individual, God has assigned angels over us. Angel, plural, angels. Listen, we really don't need more than one angel. If one angel can wipe out over 100,000 Assyrians, I'm pretty sure that one angel is well capable, come on, of keeping us, protecting us, defending us, shielding us, and ministering to us. Can I get an amen or a thank you, Lord, or a hallelujah or something up in here today? Come on, in the chat, is anybody thankful for the angels of the Lord? We know that angels many times are sent to us and they warn us in dreams, visions, and visitations of things to come. Guys, I don't even know how far I've gone into this thing. I'm 26 minutes into this. It feels like I've gone about 40 minutes into it. So let me give you some of this, break this down. In Matthew chapter 1, we know that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he told him to take Jesus when he was in the flesh as a child, to take him to go and protect him and take him and keep him out of harm's way, because Herod was plotting to try to destroy Jesus from ever growing up and maturing into what he would become. Then we read about Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. This angel appears to Joseph again and tells him to flee Egypt and stay there until Herod eventually would pass away. Then we see again, angels again appear to Jesus and strengthen him after 40 days and 40 nights of being tempted in the wilderness. We know in John chapter 5 that there was a pool called the Pool of Bethesda, and where all these people were gathered around. And then there was a certain season in which an angel, your Bible says there was a certain season in which an angel of the Lord would go and stir the waters, and those who would get into the water would be miraculously healed. So we see that. Your Bible says that. So here's you know what's powerful about that? Angels are also ministers of healing. when we pray about, Lord, when we pray, Lord, heal my body or bring healing to so-and-so, or I pray you deliver them out of this affliction or this infirmity, and they begin to fast, they begin to pray, and they begin to seek the Lord about getting healed or delivered from infirmities. Just because we don't see it, doesn't mean it's not happening, but I believe angels of the Lord can be sent to minister healing to people in their bodies. Come on, hallelujah. Let me make this one last statement real quick, and then I'm going to get to some videos here and some articles. And I'm going to tie all this together. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 12, we see here, again, Peter is put into prison. He's bound by two chains, two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. And your Bible says that an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison and struck Peter on the side and raised him up. So this angel struck Peter on his side, woke him up, told him to get up, and his chains fell off. And then the angel spoke to him and said, gird yourself and tie up your sandals and put on your garment and follow me. Notice here, watch this. The angels of the Lord did in the supernatural what Peter could not accomplish in the natural. Let me say that again. The angel of the Lord performed in the supernatural what Peter could not perform in the natural. Peter could not unchain himself. He could not set himself free in his own strength. So an angel was sent, come on somebody, to set him free. And once the chains came off, then the angel looked at him and said, gird yourself, tie up your sandals, put on your garment, and follow me. Oh, I wonder who I'm talking to today. Listen, there's many things that you and I can do in our own strength. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:18, for thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives us the power to make wealth. Listen, the gifts you have, the talents you have, the blessings that's been bestowed upon you, all these things that you have, that you possess, that you're able to do in life, those things are a gift from God. Those talents are a gift from God. Those accomplishments are a gift from God. And those things you can do because God has gifted you to do that. But there is going to come a time, if you've not already experienced this, you will, my friend, wherein which you're going to not be able to do in your own strength things that you will be confronted with. And when we pray and we seek the Lord, when we fast and we ask for help, come on, the Bible declares to us and shows us that the angel of the Lord can assist us and do in the supernatural what we cannot perform in the natural. Woman who prayed while dangling from a bridge in a semi-truck credits the Lord for surviving a horrific ordeal. Quote, God is listening. Now, we've got some videos on this, but newly released dash cam footage of an accident that left a massive semi-truck dangling from a bridge earlier this year is going viral, and for good reason. Let me show you the footage here, and then we'll get to the rest of the story. So let me pull this up. Here's the actual dash cam footage. This is the woman semi-truck driver. This happened in Louisville, Kentucky. That's where I used to live for many, many years. So I'm very familiar with this bridge where this took place. So here's the dash cam video. And so you can get it. And again, you guys on Apple by Spotify, if you'd like to jump over to the podcast, you'll see this, the visual of this. Here it is. So here she is. This is showing her the cab and what she sees. Now here's the truck that swerves in, hits her, knocks her off. You can see she loses control. And there is the truck dangling over the bridge. Look at that. Could you imagine? She's dangling over the bridge. There's no audio in this video, but she's crying out to the Lord to help her and to save her.
The driver of the semi that miraculously stopped short of plunging into the Ohio River on March 1st is talking for the first time and only to WHAS 11. It's been 3 months, and now the driver of a pickup truck is charged with causing the crash. In my exclusive interview right here tonight with Sydney Thomas, overlooking the bridge, she has a message for that driver that many of you will find surprising. We're here. You told me you actually can look at it.
Yeah.
Sydney Thomas and I walked along the Louisville waterfront.
This is the first time since Friday, March 1st, that the 26-year-old Cisco employee has been this close to where she stared down death. The miracle on the 2nd Street Bridge.
I don't think I'm ever going to drive on March 1st again if I can help it.
Even off that day?
Nope. Yeah, I got to be off March 1st.
But her recovery from the traumatic crash that left her hanging right over the side of the bridge in her semi for 40 minutes is now well underway.
I try not to go back to that day too often in a negative way. You know, I try to look at it as I'm still here, you know, so I try to keep the bad part of it out of my mind.
Police say the crash was caused by 33-year-old Trevor Branham of Jeffersonville, driving his pickup truck recklessly, weaving in and out of traffic, crossing right into the northbound lane and slamming into her semi, sending Sydney through the railing where the semi miraculously held on.
When I felt myself going over, I was like, I couldn't try to stop it or nothing. It was just, and then I'm just veering off to the left. When I was looking down, I was praying, but I was also like, if this truck falls, I'm going to have to jump out. Cause if not, the Ohio River is 128 feet deep at like in Louisville. I looked it up. I was like, if I don't, I'm going to be at the bottom of the river because that truck was full.
Now, for the first time, she talks about Branham, the man charged. Her comments may be surprising to you.
I'm going to pray for him.
Are you going to forgive him?
I already have. I can't hold no hate in my heart towards... We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And me holding a grudge or being angry for the rest of my life at him is not going to do nothing for me.
Sydney, that's remarkable. You almost went into the Ohio River and lost your life.
Mm-hmm.
Your truck lost power because you said when he hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can forgive him?
I have to.
But the charges are appropriate.
Yes.
Not long after the crash, attorneys asked her to view the Cisco dash camera video that recorded everything inside and outside of her truck from the crash to going over the railing. It became nearly a setback for her and her recovery.
That was hard. It was hard. Not so much the impact, but the end before it cut out when I was screaming. That was hard to watch.
While stranded in those harrowing minutes, she kept her son, 5-year-old Mason, in mind. He's nonverbal and the focus of her life.
So imagine if I wouldn't have recognized that when I did, and he wouldn't be getting the treatment that he's getting now. And I was just like, you know, it was really hard for me to think about, like, leaving him behind on Earth.
And then her rock to recovery.
How did his strength get you through March 1st?
I've always been a daddy's girl.
Her dad, Mark, he's been a semi driver for 18 years.
That was nothing but God displaying himself to me.
Did you hear that? That was nothing but God displaying himself to me. So they're both acknowledging God intervened. So again, was there an angel present that we didn't see in the natural? Did an angel keep that semi from falling over? I know the skeptics are, no, it just happened. Look, you know, I get that, but I'm telling you right now, there is something, and I'm going to show you a video after this that, you know, you could say what you want as well, but I'm presenting these testimonies and these videos to build your faith because I believe we have seen the presence of these angels unaware. Mark. All right, guys, then we got this story.
A church in Finleyville took a direct hit from a twister. The roof of the building was ripped off during a prayer service. Crossroads Ministries pastor Ken Barner.
Hold on, stop. So this was in Pennsylvania. This was the recent tornado, those tornado outbreaks that went through. This was in Pennsylvania, and they were in a prayer meeting. And an EF tornado strikes the area. It's coming right at them. And watch this. Listen to this.
His experience during a virtual service on Mother's Day in the storm's aftermath.
I never thought would be coming to you under these circumstances. As most of you are aware by now, that our church was hit by a tornado. We had a tornado come, and it hit the wing of our church. The tornado came up the hill at about 6:14 p.m., and it came up and it took the roof off of that building, and it sent it into the woods. I witnessed what I would say is a miracle.
Miracle indeed. Ken immediately jumped into action and helped escort all of the 100 people down to the church's basement, where they ended up taking shelter until the tornado passed. But an unbelievable but also terrifying experience to live through. Ken is joining us now live from Finleyville. And Pastor, do appreciate you joining us, sharing your story. What a wild one it was. Talk to me a little bit more about what you were experiencing Saturday night. You know, so oftentimes when we do unfortunately see a church that's in the path of a tornado, it's usually at a time when nobody's in the church. Different scenario for you.
Yes, we were totally caught by surprise. There had been no warning in our area that there was a tornado weather. There was like an hour and a half north that they were expecting tornado, but we were used to that up in that area in Lawrence County. We're down here in Washington County on the southern side of Pittsburgh. And we had 93 people here in the building. We were getting ready for our regular service. We have a Saturday night service every week at 6 p.m. We were starting our service. My wife was actually up on the stage leading songs. She was in the middle of the third song. Power jumped. And you could just hear this crazy noise outside. And we went right into action, and we started to evacuate. We actually had a few windows in the auditorium blow out, and glass just went all over. Glass went over one of my associates, knocked him to the floor. But amazingly, nobody was hurt.
Ken, how did you get everybody out? You're talking about you. I assume you were in a sanctuary at the time with the service, and you had to get everybody to a safe spot. How did you know, first of all, to do that, and how long did it take?
You know, I think God helps those who can't help himself, right? You know,
right.
God helps us in the time we're in.
In other words, God will do in the supernatural. Come on, what we can't do in the natural. That's exactly what he just said there.
You least expect it. So God, I believe God just gave me that moment. That started to happen, and I said, we are going downstairs in our basement. We have a children's area where I know it. I've been part of this church for my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so downstairs is cinder block, and I said, we've got to get down there where we are safe. And so we took them down the stairwells. We had a few stairwells, and we started to move them. The wind was on the right side of the building, and I said, well, let's all go down the left side because I don't want them to get shattered with the glass. Mm-hmm. And our people moved at the speed of light. And so Saturday night is one of our smaller congregations that gather. We gather on Saturday at 6 and Sunday at 9:30 and 11. So I'm just thankful this wasn't on Sunday morning when I had standing room only. We can seat about 350, 400 people here. So we were just moving into action. And I just believe that God led us. And I can only tell you the protection of the hand of God was on us.
All right, so there you have it, guys. These are just some stories. Listen, I have my own story. I'm going to share with you, and some of you guys have heard this, some of you have not, but when I gave my heart to the Lord in 2000, it was shortly thereafter, I was going down a road, and I'm going to, for sake of time, I'm not going to give you all the details of this. I'm going to just kind of give you the clip notes of this. I was running late. I was running late for work that day, and I was praying in the car, and my last words out of my mouth as I was praying, as I said, Lord, I ask that you would put a hedge of protection around me, that your angels would surround me and protect me in my coming in and my going forth. And then I said, amen, in Jesus' name. Literally within 10 to 15 seconds later, I blew a tire in my car. I was going northbound, headed to work. This was on Interstate 65 in Louisville, Kentucky. There was four lanes in the northbound, and there's four lanes on the southbound, and there's a median in the middle. I'm going northbound, blow a tire, fishtail all four lanes, and I'm driving a 1992 Nissan Sentra at that time. It still had some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, but it's got the emergency brake in the middle that you pull up. I'm pinned, and at that time I was not wearing a seatbelt, which is absolutely idiotic and stupid, I know. From that day forward, I always wear a seatbelt. Even if I go down the road, I'm wearing a seatbelt. But so don't judge me. I learned the hard way. But I did not have a seatbelt on. I was pinned against a car, went across eight lanes of the interstate, went across four lanes. Now, remember, this is in the middle, guys, of morning rush hour traffic. This I'm heading to work at like 8:30 in the morning or 8:15, somewhere around there. There's cars going that are in the same lane as me going northbound. There's cars going southbound. I go across all eight lanes of the highway. I close my eyes, open my eyes. Next thing I know, I'm all the way on the other end of the opposite end of the highway on the shoulder facing the southbound traffic coming like this. But I'm on the shoulder, so I'm safely over there. It took me a few seconds to wake myself out of, you know, to the reality that I'm still alive. I'm shaking visibly. I've got my hand on the, I reach up, grab the steering wheel, and I realize, hey, I'm alive. Wow. So I get out of the car, and I noticed that two of my four tires on my car is completely destroyed. The rims are bent. The rubber was peeled off because of the intensity of the force of me sliding across the interstate. I get out of the car. I'm looking at my car. All of a sudden, a car comes flying up behind me, and the guy gets out of the car. He runs up to me, and I'm just going to tell you what he said. He said, "Whoa, brother." He said, "That was some amazing driving." And I'm like, "What? What are you talking about?" He said, "I watched the whole thing." He said, you were in front of me." He said, "And I saw you blow a tire. I saw your car go across the interstate." He said, "You swerved. You went right and swerved this car. Then you swerved to the left and almost hit that car and moved out of the way. I saw you go over the median." And he said, "That was some amazing driving." And I told this guy, I said, "Brother, I'm going to be honest with you. I never touched the wheel. I was pinned against the car. I closed my eyes. I thought it was over." And his face got white as a ghost, and he said, and I'm going to give you the exact words he said. He said, "Somebody was definitely watching over you." And I said, "Yes, sir, they were." I said, "I believe it was the angels of the Lord." So he's like, he was astonished by that. He wanted to make sure I was okay, and I was okay. And then by this time, the police come to get me, and I go back in my car, and I look in my car to get my stuff, whatever I had, and the emergency brake, the console, the middle console where the emergency brake is completely crushed from the force of my body. Now, keep in mind, I was going this way. The momentum of the car moving like this pinned me up against the car, and then I went like this. I was moving in all kinds of different directions, and the force of this was so powerful that it broke the console where the emergency brake is, the middle console. But I had no bruises on me, no cuts, no bruises, no injuries whatsoever on my body. Come on, somebody. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the angel of the Lord protected me that day and kept me. And it was that very day, friend, when I laid in that bed and the Lord spoke to me and told me that he protected me and kept me from the enemy's assignment to take me out because he had called me to preach the gospel. Here's what I want to leave you with tonight. I want us to acknowledge and I want us to be aware that when we step foot out of our homes, when we go out into this crazy world, whether it's to go across the street and check the mail or go to your Walmart and get some groceries or go to a ball game or wherever you're going to go, we don't know what is waiting on the other side. We don't know what's going to happen on the interstate, on the highways, the byways, that airplane in the airways, on the railway, on the wherever we travel, however we travel, and whatever we do. There is circumstances that take place. There is assignments of the enemy that are transpired against us to try to take us out. But I've come by today to tell you that the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear the Lord, and he delivers them out of their trouble. Psalms 91 says they bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against the stone. Do I believe in miracles? Absolutely. Do I believe in the miraculous? Absolutely. Do I believe in the supernatural? Absolutely. And I believe that the angels of the Lord are directly involved in many of these things happening in our lives. And if we were to go back, pull out the scrapbook, and think about all the times that you thought it was just luck or it was happenstance that you, come on, survived that car crash or survived that drug overdose or didn't drink the certain thing that you could have drank, and if you did drink it, it could have killed you, or got involved in the wrong people, or you could have been killed and something gone wrong. Come on, somebody. I just wonder, was there somebody praying behind the scenes? And the angel of the Lord, come on, showed up and ministered to you protection, provision, and come on, and deliverance in the name of the Lord. Come on. So I want to close this segment tonight with this word of encouragement to you. Come on, let's pray right now, and let's ask the Lord to reveal to us, come on, all the times that he probably intervened and protect. Why? So we can give him the glory. Because listen, if God did it before, I believe he is faithful to do it again. And I also want to tell you this, that come on, this is going to help you when you're praying for your loved ones and your family members and your neighbors, and you don't know what all kinds of crazy things they're into. Come on, I dare you step out and pray the word of the Lord over them and ask the Lord to send angels to intervene, excuse me, and protect them and keep them in all of their ways in Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray right now. Father, I thank you for this mighty word that you have placed upon my heart. I pray that it will go forth and not return void, but it will bring forth fruit in that which is sent forth to produce. I pray, Father, that we would acknowledge this day that there is angels of the Lord that have been assigned to us as ministering spirits of the heirs of salvation. I pray that, Father, when we get into our prayer closet and we begin to declare the word of the Lord, we know with assurance that the angels are on our side. We have friends in high places called the angels of the Lord that have been assigned to us to protect us, preserve us, and keep us, and deliver us, and minister to us. In Jesus' name, Father, we give you permission, Lord, to let these angels minister in our lives, Lord, and help us, Lord, to acknowledge and recognize when they're ministering and they're activated in the lives of other individuals in which we are praying and believing for. Father, for those that are lost and those that are away from God, I pray that, Father, you would send angels to them in their lives and in their circumstances to bring about deliverance, to bring about protection, to bring about, Lord God, the ministering circumstances that they need in that moment in Jesus' name. Father, if you did it for these men of God in the Word of God in the Old Testament, you did it in the New Testament. God, I believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And last but not least, I pray, Father, as we go out and we see the homeless and we see the orphans and we see the widows and we see that stranger, Lord, that we would have this awareness about us, that that might not be just flesh and blood staring at us, but it could be an angel of the Lord that has been assigned to see how we will respond. For I remember in your word, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 25, that says, when I was in prison, you visited me. When I was a stranger, you visited me. When I was sick, you visited me. As often as you did it to others, you did it unto me. So, Father, I pray, Lord, today, in Jesus' name, that we would acknowledge this, heed this, and we would receive this word. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Listen, I hope you've been blessed again by this message. Download our free app, guys. That's how you're going to keep informed, equipped. It's going to keep you all up to par with our podcast, just like this, and all of our headlines, breaking news, prophecy, viewpoints, all of that stuff right there at your fingertips. Download today from Apple and Android. And as always, guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, all the above, of course, we want to give an opportunity to partner with us. You can become a monthly partner easily by giving electronically through the app or through the main website, or right there on your screen, you can make a check or money order out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30653. 855-212-5555. So we're going to sign off for tonight, but we'll be right back here with another great blessing, encouragement, or information, or whatever the Lord puts on our heart. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.